Well, I know this has felt like perhaps the never-ending series, but we are wrapping it up tonight, the book of Proverbs. And before I get started into the teaching, Mike asked me to share a little bit about where me and my family are kind of at right now. And it's kind of going around a little bit, but it's never been kind of officially committed to. But my wife and I are going to be heading down to Dallas in June, provided, you know, a small thing like a vote at a church. But we're going to be, we're actually going to be helping out with a church down in urban Dallas. So just throw that out to you guys. We'll probably be leaving in June in that kind of area. So, man, we'd appreciate your prayers. But in the meantime, we have grown to really love Central. And so when Pastor Jim, you know, announced that he's moving next door, we're like, okay, well, at least we got him as long as possible. But we are really going to miss, especially just all the friends we made here. And so anyways, if you guys have any questions or anything, feel free to come up and ask us. But otherwise, we just appreciate you guys' prayers, because my wife and I are actually going to be co-pastoring this church. So it's kind of a thing where we don't have many models for, and God's kind of called us both to pastor on the same kind of equal level. So I'm sure we're going to need lots of prayer in this area to really help this church in this urban context. But anyways, enough about that. We are going to be talking about life and death in the book of Proverbs. And you guys, this picture of the tree should be burned into your brains. The Proverbs trees. Does anyone dream about the Proverbs tree? No? Okay. If you guys remember, we started way back when I talked about the fear of the Lord, how that's the soil from which all the biblical proverbs kind of grow out of. We talked about wisdom, and then the different branches that grow out of that wisdom, the sluggard, the fool, and all of that. And we are ending this tonight with life and death. I wanted to take you through a little photo journey. I went to, I don't know if any of you ever been to the monastery in Ava, Missouri. It's a Trappist monastery called Assumption Abbey. I've been there several times. And there's this awesome path out in the back through the forest. There's some Stations of the Cross, but if you go past it, this path just goes out in the middle of, it's just middle of nowhere, the Ozarkian Mountains, however you guys call that. But yeah, go on ahead to the next slide. This is the path, and I always go, whenever I spend a week in there, just usually in silence and solitude and prayer and those sorts of things, I'll go on a walk. In this particular walk, I went out, I was practicing silence this whole weekend. So it's just a time of just really emphasizes reflection. And this is going to kind of set a bit of the tone of what we're going to be talking about tonight. Go ahead to the next one. Sometimes, you know, as I'm walking through here, God's just giving me all these illustrations about life. And, you know, you walk through, sometimes the path is so clear in front of us, right? Just so clear. You just, there's some fairly clear boundaries, and there's where we should go. Go ahead to the next one. And sometimes there's turns that take place ahead of us, but you can kind of see them coming in some sense. And you know when you're walking along, when you're going to be taking some zigzags. Go to the next one. And then I just notice when I'm walking on the path, you know, sometimes I don't take time to notice the surroundings around me. You want to walk through life, I get so focused on what I'm doing, I forget about being. And all, you know, the phrase to stop and smell the roses occasionally. Just look around and see the beauty around us. There's another slide here. I took this picture of the creek in there, and it was gorgeous. I just stopped and was listening to the running water, and I was amazed about all the wonderful pictures of God's artistic beauty around me. But then again, the next slide, sometimes there are pictures of death around me. Not everything's pristine and perfect as I'm walking along. Next to life, there's death. It's just, I'm kind of surrounded by it as I'm walking through this path. The next slide. And sometimes there's obstacles in our path. But in this case, certain obstacles, they seem like, oh, that's not a big deal. And I can even see what's going on behind me. You know, when sometimes something comes your way, and it's definitely an obstacle. It takes some energy, some effort, some difficulty to get around it. But you can kind of see how things are going to span out and turn out beyond it, right? It's like, okay, I can see where we're going here. And that's kind of what that obstacle presented for me. And sometimes you really got to get dirty. Like in this case, you don't see it there, but I took that picture. If you can imagine walking on those precarious rocks with a camera and trying to make a picture, you might slip. So shortly after this, I got very wet. But and then the next one, as I'm walking through, this path was, I was following it. I was probably walking for just a good hour, just walking and going, where does this path go? I mean, it's literally out in the middle of nowhere. And I mean, if I were talking, I could scream and no one would hear me. I mean, that's where I am. And I'm noticing this path is getting a little less clear. Trees are starting to encroach on the path, and I'm having to kind of work my way through. And then the next one, it's not long after this until it completely disappeared. I walked out, and then all of a sudden, it was just like, whew, it just dissolved. And I look around, and there's mountains to the right, mountains to the left, and something dawns on me. This is where mountain lions live. And even if I wanted to scream, no one would hear my girlish screams. So at that point, I turned around and went back, okay? So what I want to talk about, though, is that sometimes paths are clear and easy strolling, but sometimes they present difficult to discern where they are and difficult to navigate. And there's a proverb that we're going to kind of use as the foundation for our talk tonight. Proverbs 15:24. The path of life leads upwards for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. The path of life leads upwards for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. We often speak of pathways in abstract terms, like, she's on a good career path, or that boy is on a pathway to destruction. And we're not speaking literally. We don't mean like they're on some kind of marked path that they're walking on. We're speaking metaphorically, that we're speaking like there's a series of decisions that they're making that's leading them in this direction. She's making good career decisions that are leading her in a good direction. He's making a set of poor, foolish decisions that we can just see that he's going headlong into trouble. And Proverbs likes to talk about these paths in terms of wisdom and foolishness, but even more precisely, Proverbs has no problem talking about the eventual destination of these paths, where we get life and death. So I want to talk a little bit about this path of life. Some of the favorite descriptions or images, one of them at least, for the path of life, Proverbs likes to talk about the fountain. And here's a verse in chapter 14. The fear of the Lord, if you remember that, that's the soil. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. Fountain of life. I can remember growing up in the suburb where I grew up, there was kind of talk of this little dirt road off a little bit outside of town where you could go and there was a steady fresh spring of water just kind of coming out of a little embankment. It was just kind of spurting out of there, just out of nowhere. And people would drive up there with their SUVs, pull them over to the side of the dirt road and go out there with their empty milk jugs, fill those up with free fresh water. And when I think of a fountain, certain words kind of come to my head. Clean, refreshing, nourishing, energizing, flowing, quenching. And throughout history, kind of legends about a certain kind of springs, some kind of permeator culture, magic springs, if you will. Springs that give you eternal life or springs that grant healing. Even in America, there's the legend of Ponce de Leon searching and seeking for the fountain of life. It's supposed to be somewhere in Florida. So I don't know if in your next trip to Disney World, you might bring a bottle and go looking for it, bring back that elixir. But even in Jesus' day, the invalids would lay around the pool of Bethesda and wait for supposedly when the waters began to stir. It was an angel, unseen angel, stirring the waters. And whoever got into the pool would be healed. Healing powers in those pools. And my wife and I, we spent 6 months living in the Philippines, studying alongside many different Asians of different descents. And I can remember one evening going to a spa. It's an outdoor spa. I say outdoor spa, you probably have all these Western ideas. I mean, it's not like that. But it was still pretty nice. And they had built these concrete holes next to a mountain because under the mountain there was these natural hot springs. And they would flow into these pools. And they were hot. I mean, legit hot. And It was very nice, warm, relaxing, but they came with a price. Natural hot springs, they smelled and reeked of sulfur. I mean, they reeked. I mean, if you don't know what sulfur smells like, I mean, it smelled like farts, all right? I'll just be honest. Okay? Smell like farts. So, I recall sitting here simmering in these little pools. I had some Japanese and Korean friends sitting next to me. You know, the odor of farts in the air. And they're explaining to me how in their cultures, there's this superstition that still exists even to today, that these kind of natural hot springs, that if they sit down in, actually heal the body. They feel like it kind of cleanses and purifies the body, and almost like it's medicine for the body. And whether it's a fountain of youth that offers longevity or hot springs which grant healing, I sense that people are searching for something to kind of quench this unexplainable thirst. I mean, you see it in the bookstores, shelves and shelves lining with all this teaching on, you know, diets that change your life, exercise routines, positive thinking, all this stuff. Now, what are all these books trying to get at? What are they trying to offer? And I think if in one word, you could say they're trying to offer hope. And when I think about the image of the fountain, I think about hope. The path of life is like a fountain. The path of life is hope. And there's another really well-known image in the Proverbs for the path of life, and it's the tree. The tree, there's a great proverb here in chapter 3, verse 18. She, it's referring to wisdom because wisdom often is personified as a female for good reasons, right, guys? She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. And when I think of the image of a tree, words come to my head like steady, sturdy, secure, planted, fruit-bearing, shade-providing, stable. Now, what makes a tree firm and stable? It's roots. Yeah. You may be familiar with the old saying, it's your roots that determine your fruits. I mean, it's terrible grammatically, but it's really profound. It's your roots that determine your fruits. And there's a species of grass in Asia that it really illustrates this principle of the importance of roots really well. This species of grass, let's say you want to plant it, and you want to kind of create a colony of it. Well, you better be patient, because for 2 to 3 years, the first 2 to 3 years, it's only going to grow a couple inches out of the soil. Then something amazing will happen. In a stint of about 60 days, it'll grow 90 to 100 feet. What is this species of grass? The bamboo tree. Now, what's going on during those first 2 to 3 years when it's just kind of inching up out of the soil? I'll tell you what it's doing. It is growing down and creating an elaborate root system for those 2 to 3 years that's preparing itself for the incredible growth that it's about to experience. And as soon as it starts to grow, it is the fastest growing plant in all the world. In fact, they've clocked it. You can clock the bamboo tree in some tropical areas. They've clocked the bamboo tree growing 4 feet in a matter of 24 hours. It's a person. You could sit there and watch that happen. It's just amazing to me. And so when I think about the image of the tree, I think about stability, faithfulness, the path of life. It's like a tree. The path of life is stable, secure. I mean, even in Psalms 1, if you're to turn to Psalms, a lot of the Psalms sound very proverbial in their kind of way of talking. And it combines the images. The man who delights in the law is like a tree planted by streams. Whatever he does prospers. You could even go all the way back to Eden, where there's this tree that offers fruit of immortality. And there's this huge river that's watering the garden of God. And when I think about the path of life, I think, yeah, it's like a fountain. It's hope. The path of life, yeah, it's like a tree. It's stable. It's steady. It's faithful. But, you know, we would be amiss if we only looked at the first half of that verse. So let's go back to that verse that we saw here in Proverbs 15:24. The path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. It leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. I mean, we have to be honest. Yeah, there's a path of life. There's a series of decisions that leads to life. But some decisions, I mean, they can only be classified as leading to death. I'll give you some small, subtle examples, autobiographical. I have in front of me a bottle of water and a can of Dr. Pepper. One of these choices is nourishing and health. The other choice promises rotten teeth and a mild caffeine addiction. I come home from a long day of work. I'm tired. I want to relax. I could sit down in front of the TV, or I could get on the ground and play with my little daughter. One of these choices offers connection, joy, maybe laughter. The other offers disconnection, probably some feelings of boredom. Maybe I get behind a car who's driving 10 miles under the speed limit. I'm caught there. Oh, I have a choice. I could call this person ungodly names and in Shakespearean form, bite my thumb at them. Or I could pray for them, ask God to bless them. Maybe thank God that I have a car, that I have the ability to drive it. You know, one of these choices offers a heart of patience and unselfishness. The other one leads towards self-absorption and a touchy temper. There's a great some great verses here in Proverbs 5. I want to read through these, and I think it really hits on something very profound and deep about our choices and the way we walk our paths. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Now, I want you to look at two of those words in the last verse, die and astray. In this proverb, in some way, it's almost like those two phrases are mirroring each other, almost like they're synonymous, that in some way, death is a form of going astray. And going astray is, in some sense, a form of death. When we're talking about life and death, here in the Proverbs at least, we're not just talking about breathing and not breathing. Death is anything that leads a little bit away from life. I mean, life is about full life, and death is about anything that's not full life. It's a choice of a path that's not necessarily going to death. It's a choice of a path that's leading away from life. That's the proverbial way of looking at it. And, you know, death is not a single physical action all the time. Death is just any small, subtle decision we make. Death is not always dramatic. Sometimes death is as simple as going astray. So, how about you, new community? What path are you walking on? Is it a path of life? Path of like a tree? Stable, secure? Is your path like a fountain? Full of hope? Or perhaps you've taken some forks in the road that's are leading you astray. You know, I think it's healthy for us Christians occasionally to look in the mirror, reflect. Is that choice that I just made, was that leading to life or was that leading to death? Some people might say, oh, you're being dramatic. That's kind of overemphasizing things. Well, not really. I mean, I'm not telling you to say that the blue shirt or the red shirt are going to lead to the life or death. But there are times And often there are subtle decisions we make in a day, hundreds of times during a day, that can lead us to life or can lead us to death. My favorite book of all time is C.S. Lewis's The Great Divorce. And in the preface of this book, Lewis says some very appropriate words for us. He talks about how, I'll kind of paraphrase some of it. He talks about how we don't live in a world where all the paths are radii of one circle, that if we just walk on them long enough, we'll all meet in the middle. Instead, we live in a world that's more like our paths, after a mile or two, fork into two, and then each of those into two again. And at every fork, we have to make a decision. And he goes on to say, if we get on an incorrect path, the only hope for us is to be rescued and put on the right path. And he compares it to, interestingly enough, a math problem. If you get, after the equal sign, a wrong sum, it's an incorrect answer. You can correct it, but only by going back and finding the error and starting afresh from there. You can't fix the problem simply by going on. And if I could quote him at the end of this talk, he says, "Evil can be undone, but it cannot develop into good. Time does not heal it. The spell must be unwound bit by bit with backward mutters of dissevering power." And what Lewis calls going back, finding the error and starting afresh, the Bible calls repentance. And sometimes, we look hard, we'll find in our past, there's a place, a fork in the road, where we took the wrong turn. And some of you tonight may need to go back and start afresh there. This may include an apology or asking for forgiveness. Undoing the evil may mean returning something you stole. Unbinding the spell may mean fasting a certain time away from some activities that distract you and allow the Holy Spirit a little more room to have sway in your daily life. I mean, whatever it may mean, I encourage you, I implore you, do it. May we all seek the path of life. May we all steer our lives away from death. For the path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. And there's this little video I'd like to show. I feel like it's an appropriate kind of punctuation at the end of this talk, so let's let this play. And if I could just end with the doxology of Jude. "And so to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you for his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to our only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all the ages, now and forevermore. Amen." I love you guys. Blessings on you.